had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich.
How much can she take? How much can she give? How much is too much, and how much longer can she live? As we turn our backs and turn our eyes and pretend we don't see. If ignorance is bliss, then full of bliss are we.
Welcome to Eco Talk and our continuing series around WED, World Environment Day, actually a five-day extravaganza, sort of Earth Day meets the Olympics, which took place in and around San Francisco, the Bay Area. Thousands attended, more than 100 mayors took part from around the world. Accords were signed to make cities more sustainable. There were several events around clean car technology, one of my favorite subjects, and we have some of the participants from those tracks in studio to join us for a discussion on, are we there yet? That's what my 10-year-old always asks. I'm sure that's why you chose that name. Cars and Fuels of the Future, making hydrogen vehicles and fuels available for the rest of us. We have several guests. Our first is Chris Onder. He is with the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology, Zurich. I'm told that's sort of the MIT of Switzerland. And he's going to tell us, among other things, about a prototype that can get 10,000 miles per gallon. I asked him to translate kilometers and liters, since we don't do that here in the U.S. We were supposed to, but I don't know whatever happened to that. Give or take a few miles. So, Chris, thanks for joining us. You've piqued my interest with this. This is actually a vehicle that one can see and touch and drive?
You can see it and you can drive it. And 1.5 weeks ago, we were in Nogaro in France. And we made those 3,836 kilometers with 1 liter of fuel. Of course, we didn't make 3,800 kilometers. That would take very, very long. We drove for 50 minutes, the distance of 25 kilometers.
In how many minutes?
50, 50, 50, 50, yes.
What is this vehicle made of?
It's made of carbon fiber, so it's very lightweight. The weight of the vehicle is 32 kilo, so you can imagine it has to be small. It has to be very, very light, and it has a fuel cell and electric motors as a powertrain.
And I understand this won first place, I can imagine why, in the Shell Eco Marathon that took place, as you said, in France.
Yes, exactly.
Did that provide some money to continue to make more of these cars, since one won't do us any good?
It's a competition for universities primarily. So they're participating about 100, 200 universities of all Europe. And a lot of them from France, from Belgium, from the northern countries, et cetera. And from Switzerland, I think we had three participants.
Okay, let's get a little bit more specific. How does this car run so efficiently?
Well, it's what I said before. It's the weight.
Just the weight? That's all?
It's very low weight. And
so if it gets hit by something else, you're gone.
Well, it's carbon fiber, so it's rather stiff. But of course, I mean, you can't compare this car, which is really a competition vehicle, so it's optimized for this competition. So it's very small, very light, and very efficient. And, I mean, we wouldn't drive that car on normal streets, but it's a car to show what is possible. So what can we do when we really optimize everything? What is reachable?
Wow, and you're saying this is reachable when? I guess that's the key question.
I would say fuel-selling cars are reachable within 20 to 30 years. So the next 10 to 20 years, we won't see fuel cells with large numbers on streets. That's my personal
opinion. Now, is this prototype vehicle fueled by traditional gasoline or hydrogen?
No, it's hydrogen. It's fuel cell which is fed by hydrogen.
Okay.
So we have small hydrogen bottles in the car where we take the hydrogen from.
All right, so what do we need to do between today and that day when, I mean, is this the sort of optimum vehicle, or is this just sort of a step along the way to finding the car of the future that will have zero emissions and still be, you know, able to perform and be safe?
I think our car just showed what is possible when you really optimize everything. But in the intermediate step, my personal opinion is that we have to go to hybrids, we have to go to compressed natural gas, a lot of other stuff, and we have to optimize with the same tools we use for pack car. We have to optimize conventional gasoline cars, diesel cars, etc.
Now you say we have to go to hybrids. Of course, there are hybrid gasoline electric vehicles already, not enough of them in the States. Is that what you mean, sort of the one that we're seeing now, or are you talking about a different type? Do you have them in Switzerland? Do you see them around Europe?
We have them, yes. But not very large numbers, but it's improving.
The Toyota Prius and Honda Accord?
Yeah. We have all the same ones we have here as well.
You do. So any guess of what percentage of the population is buying them and driving them?
At the moment, because Toyota cannot deliver very much of them, it's a rather low percentage.
You have a long waiting list like we do too, but gas is much more expensive, although we're kind of catching up with you.
We have $5 per gallon.
$5 per gallon, so there must be incredible demand. Is there much public awareness about the benefits of these hybrid vehicles in this country? It's just starting to penetrate the mainstream consciousness.
I think we are a little bit further than the U.S., but it's starting in Switzerland as well. Because also in Switzerland, people like to have comfortable cars, large cars. So you have to change the mind of the people to shift them to the other vehicles.
Yes, to show that you're sacrificing nothing except more time at the gas pump and saving some money. What about some of the European car makers like Fiat, Citroën? Are they investing in hybrid technology? You don't hear much about them.
They started some years ago really intensively investigating into hybrid technology. So Daimler Chrysler, I know they're doing something. Ford, they do a lot. And the French car makers as well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're not doing enough as far as we're concerned. I mean, it's a great beginning, but, you know, we want to see more models available in hybrid vehicles.
I think in Europe, the industry waited a little bit to see how the Prius is on the market.
Here too.
And now they saw, okay, folks are really buying that car, and now they're going into it.
Okay, so you're saying at the same time compressed natural gas vehicles should be developed?
Yes.
We see them in buses primarily, fleet vehicles. What are the obstacles to having more CNG, as they're called, vehicles around?
The problem with CNG is that you have a storage problem. You have to have the tanks, you have to have the bottles, and you cannot drive as far as you're used with gasoline. So with CNG, I would say you're limited at the moment to about 300 to 400 kilometers per tank.
Which would be how many miles?
Which would be 200 miles, 250 miles.
Uh-huh. So is there an investment in making those more readily available and improving the storage capacity?
Yeah, so the storage capacity is investigated. Other tank storage systems are investigated, and of course engine exhaust after treatment systems are investigated, because there also some stuff has to be done.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Chris Onder. He is with the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology. He is the lead architect of a prototype vehicle called the PAC car, PAC. What does that stand for?
PAC car is the abbreviation of pile à combustible. It's the French expression for fuel cell. It's a fuel cell car.
Ça va. Okay. So where can we see this? Is there a website with a picture somewhere?
Yeah, we have a website, www.paccar.eth.ch.
What kind of interest are you getting from engineers around the world who specialize in clean car technology?
I think they're interested because we really used state-of-the-art tools to optimize our system. It's not really the car that is so much of interest to them. It's the tools and how we did it and the detailed solutions.
Now, can you claim the cleanest vehicle in the world, or is there anyone in this country who's making a similar prototype or has made perhaps?
No, we can claim we have the most efficient vehicle, and since we are running on hydrogen, we have no emission at all, no toxic emission at all.
What about the source of hydrogen? Where do you think we should go to get that in a clean way, as clean a way as possible?
I think we should go into renewable production. So when you produce hydrogen from gasoline, you always lose a lot of energy by producing the hydrogen. If you're doing it with electrical energy, you have the same problem. So we should really go into the renewable production of hydrogen. And there what helps is that a hydrogen car is very efficient and is very light, so you use less energy.
Now you say renewables. We like to be a little more specific on this show. So there's actually people who really care about this. So the sun?
You can produce
wind?
It with solar panels. You can produce it from bio stuff, whatever.
From what?
From bio.
Oh, bio. Okay.
Yeah.
Bio is something else.
Okay.
Pardon the accent. So we have just a couple minutes left. Tell us, if you could give us sort of a three-step process, what would you like to see unfold over the next few years? If there's think tanks listening and they'd like to, get started on this, what should happen next?
I think first, people really should be aware that they should buy light cars, efficient cars, and smaller cars. They should really think of what car do I need. And then they will end up with a lighter car, I'm sure.
You're saying if public awareness and demand is there, then they will be made, these vehicles.
And they probably people should be a little bit more involved into the thing, because we saw it with our students. PACCAR is a student project that's with, at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology. Mm-hmm. So the four students who really worked on that, they have had so much ideas, they communicated their ideas to other students, and that really gave an effect on the whole Department of Mechanical Engineering.
Interesting, and there's a similar technology and research and development going on at UC Davis here in California, and later in the program we're going to speak to someone who's doing essentially what you are here in the States. So thanks for joining us. Very interesting. Are you going to continue working on this kind of thing?
For us, when we have won the first prize in Nogaro and we have set the new world record, and we are planning to set a new world record even in first of July, so then it's finished for us, because PACCAR is really a show project. We had a lot of fun, a lot of people contributed it, to it, but now we also want to work on stuff that really can go into industry.
Terrific. You're listening to EcoTalk on Air America Radio. We'll continue our talk on clean car technology right after these messages.